Well, good morning and welcome to the broadcast. This is Elder David Scarborough. I'm the pastor of the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, located on West Peach Street in Martin. I'd like to extend a special invitation to each of you to join us at Macedonia Church. We meet for worship every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., and all ages meet together in the sanctuary. We begin our services with congregational singing and prayer, and then we have the proclamation of God's Word. And as always, when we preach, we do our best to emphasize the finished work of Christ. And this morning after our service, we're planning on having lunch together. So please come and join us if you can. We would be honored to have you as our guest. Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you and we praise you for this Lord's Day and for the freedom that we have to come together and to look into a portion of your Word. We ask, Father, that you'd bless our time today, that our message may be honoring to your name, and that you'd be glorified in all that we do and all that we say. We also ask, Father, that you'd remember the sick and afflicted among us. And we pray, Father, that you'd pour out your blessings upon us, upon your people, upon your church, and upon this nation. Please continue to bear with us, Father, and be merciful to us, and forgive us where we fail thee. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things, and for his sake, amen. Well, over the last several weeks, we've been looking into some of the various doctrines that the Primitive Baptists believe and teach. Now, most recently, we looked into what we generally believe about how people are saved here in time. Now, as I discuss this doctrine with people of different backgrounds, what I often find is that many of them confuse eternal salvation and the results of it with the many various conditional savings that are taught in Scripture. Now, the problem with doing this is that it causes people to believe and to teach that there are multiple ways for people to be saved for eternity. Now, they may not think that they're doing this, but depending upon who a person is or upon what they've done, or maybe even based on what they've been taught, or even how long they've lived, well then, depending upon all of these potential conditions, they might need to be eternally saved in a different way than someone else. At least you might come to that conclusion if you've confused eternal salvation with one of the many different here and now or conditional salvations that are taught in Scripture. So, with that in mind, I thought we might consider that as our question for this morning. Are different people saved eternally in different ways? Now, maybe you've never given this much serious thought, but I think it's a valid question for our day, especially considering the fact that there are so many different teachings out there about how people ultimately get to heaven. Now, I'm not talking about the teachings of the different so-called world religions, like Islam or Hindu or Buddhism or things like that. Now, we all know that they have their own teachings about the afterlife and how a person might get there. But among all the various groups that still call themselves Christians, most of them have a different plan of salvation. And while some groups agree on some aspects of a plan, well, they still disagree on others. However, for most of the different groups out there, the only real difference is the number of steps that each requires. You know, some require more steps, some require less steps, but there just doesn't seem to be a consensus about how it happens. You know, even within some of the larger denominations, there are divisions about how a person ultimately ends up in heaven. So when you look at all the various teachings out there today, well, it can be confusing. So let me ask you a question this morning. How many different ways do you think people are saved for heaven? Now, are all adults saved the same way? Well, what about children? Are they saved just like adults? Well, what about people with learning disabilities, or even unborn babies? You know, there are so many potential variables that it would be hard to put them all together and list all the possible combinations. So this morning, I want to tell you what Primitive Baptists believe about how everyone who is saved or ever will be saved gets that way. Now, first and foremost, as I've already implied, Primitive Baptists believe that everyone that will be saved for heaven are all saved in exactly the same way. Now, at first this might sound a little confusing, but you have to admit, out of all the various schemes and plans that have been set forth by men regarding salvation, there doesn't seem to be one that will fit everyone who ever will be saved. But that's exactly what the primitive Baptists believe and teach. Now, we believe and teach a one-size-fits-all plan of salvation. Now, don't confuse this with universalism. Remember what I said. Now, this plan is for everyone who is ever saved, not everyone in general. So, the same system of salvation that saves adults will also save children. The same system that saves people with a clear mind and the full use of their faculties, well, it's the same one that'll save those with any kind of handicap. Now, the same system of salvation that saves people here in America, who have full access to the Bible and the gospel truth, well, this same system will save people all across the globe with no access to the Bible or the truth. Now, that's right. This system of salvation, which is taught by the primitive Baptist, is a one-size-fits-all plan of salvation. So what do we call this amazing plan? Well, just like the plan itself, the name is very simple. We call it grace. Now, I know what you're about to say. The idea that salvation is of grace is pretty much universally held among Christians. And that's true, for the most part. If you ask someone involved with any kind of mainline Christian church, well, they will likely tell you that people are saved by the grace of God. Now, Scripture even confirms this for us. In Ephesians 2 and 5, the Apostle Paul said, "By grace ye are saved." But when you begin to ask how this grace gets applied, well, the answers start to go in several different directions. And you find out that everyone has a different definition for what grace really is. And the answers will also vary depending on who the potential candidate is for receiving that grace. In other words, different groups have a different plan for adults and different plans for children. There's also a plan for those that can't learn and for those that have never heard and so forth. So again, how is a person actually saved for heaven? Well, first, let me remind you of our original condition. This is the state we are all born into. Every man, woman, and child, if you're a descendant of Adam, well, then you have inherited his sinful nature. So we are all born in a state of sinfulness. As Paul said in Romans 5 and 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So every one of us starts out in exactly the same way, as the enemy of God. But at some point, every single heir of grace, now that is, everyone chosen in Him, is changed. Now they're moved from a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ, and it's all of grace. Now, the Bible calls this transformation quickening. Now, the concept of something that is quick simply means that it is alive. So to be quickened means to be made alive. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2 and 1, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." In other words, if you have been made spiritually alive, well, it was because you started out spiritually dead. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, Paul said, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead." In John 5 and 21, Jesus said, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." And he goes on to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, I know for us as humans, this teaching can be a bit hard to understand, because there are so many things that we want or that we might ask for that we never get. Now, why is that? Well, at times there are just things that are simply not in our power to gain. But unlike us as natural humans, who are limited in many, many ways, well, God is not limited at all. So when God calls, He always gets what He calls for, even when it's to someone who's dead, whether naturally or spiritually. In John's Gospel in the 11th chapter, John gives us a picture of how Jesus commanded the dead. Now, there was a man there named Lazarus of Bethany who was a friend of Jesus, and he had died. But that didn't stop Jesus from giving us a demonstration of His power over death. Well, as the story goes, Jesus and his disciples made their way to where Lazarus was. And then, in verse 43, well, Jesus simply said, "Lazarus, come forth." Well, then John tells us that he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Now, notice that Jesus didn't ask Lazarus if he wanted to come forth. Well, he also didn't send someone in to ask Lazarus to come forth. No, Jesus simply commanded him to have life, and then he immediately had it. Well, this same principle of Jesus calling the natural dead to life also applies to those who are spiritually dead. In the third chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus tells a man named Nicodemus exactly how the process works. He said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." You see, the new birth, or the quickening of the Holy Spirit, is something that operates just like the wind. In the original Greek, the word for listeth is the word thaleo. Now, it basically means wants to. In other words, the wind simply blows when and where it wants to. But there's also another aspect of this Greek word, and that is that it also has the power to carry out whatever it wants to. So not only does it go when and where it wants to, but it also does what it wants to. So when it blows, it doesn't ask for permission, it just blows. And like the wind blowing upon a leaf of a tree, well, the leaf is powerless against the wind. It doesn't ever resist the wind, it just immediately moves. In other words, it's quickened or made alive. So Jesus said, this is how the Holy Spirit operates. It behaves just like the wind when it's blowing upon a tree, whenever and wherever it desires. And when it blows, well, whomever it blows upon is immediately made alive. Well, that's why he said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, also notice that he didn't say this was to every adult or to every child or to everyone with the ability to understand or the willingness to confess or follow some instructions, but so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, they are immediately made alive and are instantly changed from a state of death in sin to a state of everlasting life in Christ. So if this is how everyone is saved for heaven, then why do we preach the gospel? Well, we do so first because we're commanded to. But it's not in order to make children of God or to grant them access to heaven. No, we preach so that God might receive all the glory. In 2 Timothy 1 and 10, the Apostle Paul tells us that the preaching of the gospel is the thing that brings life and immortality to light. In other words, the preaching of the gospel is not the thing that brought the life or the immortality. All the gospel does is inform us. It sheds light on the gift of life that we have already received. And then once we've heard that, well, then we can rightly give thanks to the one and the only one who has given us so great a gift. Well, I hope that I've been able to share some things with you this morning that will bring you peace and comfort as you go into your week. And as you think on these things, you can draw strength from these things, knowing that God's plan of salvation works for everyone that it was intended for, no matter how old or how young or even where they are. God's one-size-fits-all plan always works. Again, just a reminder, Macedonia Church meets for worship every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Now this morning, we're going to have lunch after our service is over. So please come and visit with us if you can. We would be honored to have you as our guest. Also, if you haven't done so lately, please visit our website at www.martinpbc.org. Now once there, you can learn more about the Macedonia Church and about the Primitive Baptist. Now, once you're on the website, if you'll click on the radio link on the left-hand side of the screen, well, there you'll find an archive of past broadcasts and information on how you can send us a note. And if you have time this week, well, please do that. If you have a topic in mind or a question that you'd like to ask, well, just send us that, and we'll try to discuss that in an upcoming broadcast. So, until next week at the same time, may you rest in the finished work of Christ, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. Is my prayer.